I thought I had like a 27 pages of notes I've been studying. Popeyes does not close till 8 p.m. tonight, so. But I changed direction. The Holy Spirit yesterday had me change direction. And so I have a simple word for you this morning. And I want to talk to you this morning about some simple instructions for the upcoming year. Simple instructions for the new year. I gave Ms. Irma some simple instructions this morning. I told her, sell your skateboard, Ms. Irma. Sell your skateboard. Get rid of it. It's enough falling off the skateboard for you for 2025. Simple instructions. You know, if you would turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Now, I remember my sons were learning how to skateboard. So I was watching them, and I thought, you know, anybody can do this. It's just standing on the board, going down the road. I have good balance. I can do this. And so I started learning how to skateboard. I could actually get on the skateboard and go a few. Let me give my own testimony up here about the skateboard, sister. So I went a little ways down the road, fell down, twisted my ankle. I sold my skateboard. But I want to give you some simple instructions today for the new year. And if you would turn to Mark chapter 10. You know, when we look into our future, what do you see when you look into the future? Can anybody tell me? I will give you $1 million. I don't have it, but I'll borrow it from somebody in the room. If you could tell me what the next 10 years looks like, what's it going to look like? Or the next 5 years? Or 2 years? What's the next 2 years going to look like? What's going to happen? Who will be in office? Who will be, where will you be working? Who will be alive? Who will have passed on? Could you tell me? Could you tell me the next 5 months or the next 5 minutes? We don't know. We are walking into our future blindly. Blindly walking into the future. Now, we have some instructions that God has given us. We know of some things that's going to happen in the future based on the word of God, but we don't know when they're going to happen. I know there's going to be an Antichrist. I know that Antichrist spirit is here. I know there will be a man, a physical man, who will be the Antichrist that the Bible has prophesied of in the book of Revelation. I don't know when he's coming. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he's going to look like. We have artificial intelligence. Where is that going to lead us in the next 6 months? The next year? What will that look like? We had a pandemic a few years back. What's coming down the road? Do we know what might happen? What might not happen? There may be something worse than what we saw. We don't know. We're blindly walking into the future. But although we're blindly walking into the future, there are some things that we can do that will guarantee that although we might not know what the future holds, we can best position ourselves for our future. And it's a couple of simple things I want to talk to you about this morning. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Now, there are some things I do know about 2026. The Saints won't be in the Super Bowl. I do know that. LSU will not win. I'm sorry, don't leave the church. Don't. But they will not be winning the national championship. There are some things that we know, you know, simple things that we know. But Mark 10:46 says this, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho, talking about Jesus, his disciples, the crowd that was with him, they came to Jericho. And as they went out of Jericho, he's leaving town, Jesus, with his disciples and a great number of people. What is a great number of people? What does that look like? Plenty of people, lots of people, a crowd. Tens, 20s, 50, 100, 200. We're not sure how many people was around Jesus. We know he knew how to draw a crowd, how to draw a crowd. And when he would go somewhere, people would come because word would get out. Jesus is here. You mean the guy who would heal the lepers? The lame would walk when he prayed for them. People would be convicted. The Pharisees and Sadducees despise him. That guy, he's here. And people would come to see him. And so crowds would come around Jesus. And I've talked to you about this before. Think about all the crowds of people. Think about the woman with the issue of blood, how she had to fight her way through the crowd just to try and touch the hem of his garment. People would not just be with him, they would be around him. They would throng him, the Bible says, smother him. And so you have this big crowd of people, and anybody, could see there he is because there are all the people. And so he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. As he went out, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. So while Jesus has this big group of people around him, going out of town because they're like, let me get my last miracle. Let me see what's going to happen. As they go or going out of Jericho, there is this one guy who has no idea what's going on. Blind Bartimaeus. He's blind. He can't see. He's sitting there begging. Alms for the poor. Can I have some money, please? And as he's sitting there, this great crowd is coming his way. Does he know the crowd is coming his way? Mark 10:47. And when he heard. What did he hear? He heard something. I want you to think about this, because I've really not thought about this before. Blind Bartimaeus couldn't see Jesus coming. Everybody else saw him coming down the road, but he could hear something. He could hear the multitude. And I've never really thought about that. Like, I've always, when I read about Jesus and the crowds around him, I never really thought about what did those crowds sound like. You ever think about that? What did they sound like? Can I do a quick experiment in the room? Drew, I'm going to use you for my experiment. Drew's like, look, Dave, I'm sitting back here chilling out by Glenn, minding my own business. Leave me alone. Drew, I'm going to give you a signal after we do our little experiment, and I want to see if you can hear me. Okay? But you'll know. I'm not going to tell you what, but you'll know. So the people on this side of the room, I want you to do something. I want you to start counting to 100. But I want you to count in a way where you can make sure the people around you can hear you counting. If you can't count to 100, then never mind. Everybody else who can, I want you to count to 100, starting from 1, 2, 3, 4, like that, okay? So let me hear you.
1, 2, 3.
Keep going.
4,
people
5,
in the middle,
6,
can the people hear you?
7,
okay.
8, 9,
people in the middle, I want you to do the same thing, and I want you to start from 1.
13,
are you ready?
15,
1,
16,
2,
17, 18, 19, 20,
21. Okay.
9,
people to my right,
10,
are you ready? To start counting to 100, we'll go ahead and start. Let me hear your voices.
So, Drew, I'm talking to you, and I want to know if you can hear me. I want to know, Drew. Drew, could you hear me?
All right, you can stop counting. What did it sound like in this room? Could you hear the noise? Confusion, noise. Could you tell if I was I was really talking to Drew? Could you hear what I was saying to Drew? I was saying, Drew, can you hear me? I'm trying to talk to you. Can you understand what I'm saying? Can you understand the words that's coming out of my mouth? But he couldn't hear me because of all the noise of the crowd. And so it says in Mark 10:47, I really hope this makes sense, Pastor, when I get to the point I'm trying to make. I'm beginning to worry about my point. When he heard the crowd that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So you heard the noise of the 100+ people in the room. Now, if this blind man is sitting on the side of the road and Jesus is being thronged and surrounded by people talking about all the things they've seen, talking about where they're going, pushing and shoving, and people are saying, hey, quit pushing me, quit shoving me, I'm trying to get to the master, and all the noise. Do you think he could hear this blind man back on the side of the road saying, Jesus? So imagine him sitting there, hearing all of this, not being able to hear, see, but to hear the crowd. People are talking, laughing, crying, people are in pain, people are moaning and groaning because they've come to be healed. All the sounds. And so Bartimaeus, not being able to see, he asked someone the question, what in the world is all of that noise? What is going on? And somebody had to say to Bartimaeus, Jesus is in town. And he's coming this way. And what you hear is the crowd of people around him. Now, I don't know if Bartimaeus had already heard the stories about Jesus. Maybe he had already heard the stories, the rumors about the power that Jesus was showing everywhere that he went, the miracles, the faith. The the profound words that he would speak to the crowds. Maybe Bartimaeus had already heard this, or maybe somebody, when he asked what's going on, maybe at that point they told him, this is Jesus of Nazareth. Let me tell you about this guy. He's amazing. When people are around him, they're convicted of their sins, even the Pharisees. And they told Bartimaeus, when people are around him, if they could get close enough to him, some people just touch him and they're healed. When he heard that it was Jesus, I could see the despair in Bartimaeus be overcome by light and hope. And so he knew Bartimaeus was in town. And so here's the first thing, the first point I want to make. Here's the first thing I want you to do in this coming year. Are you ready for this? I want you in this new year to begin to tell people that Jesus is near. Jesus is near to them. How many people... We talked about walking in blindness into the future, but there are other people who are walking in blindness towards a destiny that will lead to eternal destruction.
Right.
At least we are walking blindly into the future, but we know what our future holds. We know we're going to an eternity with the Lord.
Amen.
I might not know what my future holds, but I know the one that I serve, the one who loves me, the one who died for me, he holds my future. So I can walk blindly into the future with confidence and assurance. But some people can't. Multitudes can't. Multitudes, multitudes, multitudes of people are waiting for somebody just like you to tell them, have you ever heard of Jesus? He is really close to where you are right now. How many people come up to you and begin to share some things that they're going through? You ask them, hey, how you doing, Bob? At work. And Bob says, oh man, I had a horrible weekend. My dog bit me. My wife left me. My kids don't like me. He begins to just tell you all of the tragedy in life. And that's our opportunity to say, Bob, let me tell you something. I was there, but I met a man and my life changed forever. You did. You met a man. What guy did you talk to? Dr. Phil? Who did you meet? No, Bob. Jesus is his name. You know, there's been times I've talked to people and their hearts are wide open for the gospel. And the way I've shared the gospel was very simple. I've just said, let me tell you what I was going through. And this is what God did for me. And it opens the door wide open, wide open. There are a lot of blind people around us, a lot of blind people around us, blind and heading to eternal darkness. In this upcoming year, I need all of you to be preachers. I need this entire room to become preachers of the gospel. I need this entire room to make up your mind. I can share my testimony. I can share Christ because Jesus is in me. He's with me. He's near to me. And he will equip me to talk to whoever he brings me across their path. Romans 10:13 says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the next verse, Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without those folks at Faithful Word? How shall they hear without a preacher? We all need to be preachers. You might not stand behind this pulpit and preach the gospel, but you can preach the gospel everywhere you go. There are people that you will meet that you know that I will never meet a day in my life. You can't depend on Pastor Tardo to talk to your uncle who lives in Delaware. You're on the phone with him. We will never meet your co-workers, the bank teller that you do business with every week. We will never meet them. You are the preacher that God has sent to preach the gospel to them. Preach it, brother. Preach it, sister. You know, you don't have to tell them. Somebody at work tells you, I'm having a bad day. And you say, oh, a bad day. Let me tell you what a bad day means in Greek. Let me tell you about Jesus. This is all of his names, and this is what his name means in Greek, Aramaic, Hebrew. No. You don't need to show how. All you need to do is say, let me tell you about the one who changed my life forever. He changed my life forever. And it will open the door wide open for the gospel. Can you do that this coming year? Can you be bold enough just to say, let me tell you about what God has done for me? It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Let's go to the Mark chapter 10, verse 47. Let's go back to that. Mark 10, 47. So the first thing I want you to do is become preachers of the gospel in this coming year. Mark 10, 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. What better prayer can you pray than to say, Jesus, have mercy on me? Jesus, have mercy on me. Do you know what you are saying when you're praying that prayer? Jesus, have mercy on me. This is what you're saying. I deserve to be left in my darkness and shame. I deserve to be left in my pain and misery. He was saying, I deserve to be left in my blindness of flesh and soul and spirit. But Jesus, if you will have mercy on me, you will give me grace and give me that which I don't deserve. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know, we were singing that song earlier, and I wrote down this one verse of the song. It says this, oh God, my God, I need you. Do you know how powerful that prayer is? You know, we could pray like this. Oh, eternal, almighty, majestic God, who was here yesterday, today, and forever. Almighty God, I come to you today. Or we could say, God, I need you. Oh, God, have mercy on me. I need you. I need you. And so then Mark 10, 48 says this. It says, and many charged him. Many, not one person, but people surrounded this guy. And they were like, will you be quiet? Bartimaeus, calm down. Shh. Many charged him, commanded him, rebuked him. Bartimaeus, shut your mouth. They charged him that he should hold this peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Here's the second thing I need you to do in this coming year. First thing is what? I need you to begin to preach the gospel. Here's the second thing I need you to do in this coming year. Don't allow anything or anybody to stop you from crying out to God. Don't you let the devil, don't you let circumstances, don't you let people, don't you let anything keep you from prayer. Prayer is critical in this coming year.
That's right.
We've got to start praying like we have never prayed before. I don't know what this next year holds for us, but I do know this. We've got to be a people of prayer. We've got to be a people of prayer. And you know what happens? Circumstances and situations will happen, will come, and life will try to shut you up from prayer. Anybody been there besides me?
Oh, yeah.
I had found myself a couple of days when my prayer closet was empty. So busy, so much stuff going on. Wake up in the morning, jumping out of bed because you got to be at work at 5 in the morning or 4:30 in the morning. Life tries to hinder your prayer life. Don't let life hinder your prayer life. You know what else will try and hinder your prayer life? People.
Oh, yeah.
Voices. The devil. Circumstances. Everything. Anything the devil can throw at you. He will try and stop you from calling out in the most simplest of prayer, "Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." In the coming year, I don't care if you find yourself in the middle of a storm, you better start praying like you never prayed before. I don't care if you find yourself in the middle of the biggest problem you've ever had. That this means you got to crank up your prayer life like you've never prayed before. You know, Pastor was saying that the ladies are talking about maybe having a Saturday morning prayer meeting from here from time to time. You know what I think about that? Please do it. Please do it. Well, I'm thinking about calling my sister on the phone, my brother on the phone, and maybe praying once a week. Do it. We have got to start praying like we've never prayed before, because we're walking into a future blindly. And I just have the feeling that the devil is trying his best to take out whoever he can take out. Are we praying for our family? Are we praying for our children, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our pastors? Are we praying like we need to be praying? Well, I know, Brother David, you don't have to tell me I need to pray. Then why aren't you praying? Lord, give us prayer lives that we've never had before. In this coming year, even when you feel like situations have you confused, pray anyway. Even when you might not know what to pray, pray anyway. Even when you don't know how, when, why, pray anyway. A simple prayer. Lord, have mercy on us. You see, this is when we need to cry out the most. This is what the enemy does. You will be in the middle of a trial. You will be in the middle of a storm. And the devil will tell you, well, I guess God's mad at you. I don't know. Well, why are you praying? God's not hearing you. In the time when you need to pray the most, that's when you will hear you don't need to pray. You know why? Because the devil knows when you say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, that is when everything can turn around. Pray, church, pray. Instead of growing silent in your trial, pray. Instead of growing silent in your confusion, pray. Instead of being silent in your tiredness, pray. Instead of being silent in your pain, pray. I think you got the point. Mark 10:49. It says, and Jesus stood still. Now, wait a minute. He stood still. Do you mean Bartimaeus got his attention? How did Bartimaeus get the attention of the Lord? He never gave up praying. He never stopped praying. He never gave up on God. I don't know if you heard me the first time, but here I am the second time. I don't know if you heard me last week, but here I am again. Jesus, I need you. Nothing changed last month, but Lord, here I am again. I'm going to keep knocking on heaven's door. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calls for you. Now, I believe there are a couple of reasons Jesus stood still. You know, in the Bible, it talks about this lady who came to Jesus and she had a sick daughter and she was saying, you know, Lord, here I am, my daughter is sick, and he was like, you know what, I didn't come for you. I came for Israel. I didn't come for you. And she was like, but Lord, my daughter's sick. And he was like, yeah, she's sick, but I didn't. Do you take the children's bread and give it to dogs? Now, what if he told you something like that? Ninety percent of us would say, Jesus, you know what? I didn't need you anyway. But she said, but Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he said, you have great faith. He heard something in that woman's voice. He heard the sound of faith. I believe when we pray some of the most simple prayers that the Lord hears the sound of faith, and that sound of faith can pierce through any sound, any darkness, anything we may be going through. It will go through whatever the devil's trying to put in our life, and it will go straight to the ears of Jesus. Let's go back to my experiment. Remember all the noise in the room. Remember how it was so loud in the room and Drew could not hear me talking. But as soon as he heard the sound of faith, the sound of my whistle, he was like, oh, I got you. I believe when we pray in faith, I believe our prayers like that whistle over all the noise of the confusion of the world, over all the stuff that you hear, over all the demons that's trying to hold you back. I believe when we pray in faith, that prayer, like an arrow, goes straight to the ear of our Lord. And see, my wife would say, well, David, you got to give me scripture and verse for that one. I believe there is a sound of faith. Before I give you a scripture, let me tell you, I did an experiment last night. So I like experiments. I'm a science guy. I'm not nothing like Dave, but I like experiment. I love learning stuff. So there's frequencies that some people can hear that other people can't hear. And the older you get, you begin to lose the ability to hear these certain frequencies. So they have, you know, you can go online and look it up, and you start playing this sound, and it begins to play these certain sounds, and then it shows you by age, well, if you're this age, you should hear this, and as it begins to drop to the lower ages, you should not hear this sound. So I was experimenting last night. And we're sitting around, and I start playing this sound. And I can hear it. Brooks is like, I can hear it. Steven says, I can hear it. And then it's like, wait, I can't hear this anymore. And Steven's still, yeah, I can hear it. Wait, I can't hear this one either. I can hear it. Wait, what are you? There are frequencies that only teenagers can hear that I can't hear. Try it when you get home. There are stores that actually have, they will broadcast sounds of a certain frequency that only younger people can hear to keep them from loitering in front of their stores. The older people will go in like, I don't hear anything, let's go shopping. And the younger people won't just gather outside because they're hearing this constant sound playing. When you get home, go look for it. Go look for it. You know what I think? I think there is a certain sound of faith that when we pray in faith, that the Lord hears that sound. He was like, oh, I hear my children. I hear my child. I hear my son. I hear my daughter. I hear the faith. And we might just be praying, Lord, have mercy on me. Do you know when you say, Lord, have mercy, you are admitting, I don't know what to do. Lord, I humble myself. I come to you. I can't fix this. I need you to fix this for me. I wonder how many of us, if we began to pray, Lord, I can't fix this. I give it up. I give it to you. I bet you half of the room prayers would be answered because you're trying to do it yourself. You're trying to save that loved one by beating them over the head. You're trying to do what God is saying, give it to me. Give it to me in faith and watch what I will do. John 5:14 says this, and this is the confidence. And this is the assurance that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We have confidence. You can have confidence that God hears you. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Jesus said, Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, praying in faith, you shall receive. He hears prayers of faith. God hears your prayers of faith. And so Mark 10:50, it says, and he, the blind man, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answering and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith. Jesus heard faith in Bartimaeus saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And that faith made him whole. And so Jesus said, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Here's the third thing I want you to do for this new year. Here's a question I have for you. What if Jesus were to ask you, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say? What would you say this morning? Would you just throw some abstract, oh, Lord, a pool would be nice. It's hot outside. Could you maybe cool it down 20 degrees? What would you say? Well, you know, $10,000 would be nice. Here's the third thing I want you to do. In this new year, I want you to take time and determine what's really important in this season of your life. Sometimes we get so busy living life that we don't really take time to stop and think about what's really important to me right now. When we pray, what do you pray about? What are you praying about? And the things that you're praying about, two questions for you. Are they really, really that important to you? Is it really the most critical thing for your life, for your family, for your future? And the second thing is, are those things in line with God's will? If Jesus were to ask you today, what would you have me to do for you? What would you tell him? What would you say? Healing for your body? Lord, I want to go deeper in my prayer life. I want my family to be saved. I want to learn more about your word. I have a broken relationship I want restored. There are so many things that we can pray about. But if the Lord asks you in this coming year, what would you have me to do? What are those key things that you need to focus your faith on? What are those key things? And then once you have your focus, find out what the word says about it. If it's healing for your body, what does the word of God say about healing? And begin to read that, meditate on it, confess it for yourself. If it's salvation for your family, what does the word say about it? Meditate on those scriptures. Get them deep into your heart. Let that be the focus of your faith for this upcoming year. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Get the word into your heart. And so, as we become more determined to seek God's face, now I'm not talking about making a New Year's resolution. Well, look, Jesus, I want to go to the gym more. I want to get in shape this year. I'm talking about what's really, really important. This is not a resolution. This is life-changing. This is life-changing for you. I want you to become more determined in this new year to go to God in prayer and seek his face for what's really, really important to you. I want you to also begin to seek godly wisdom. Now, I'm closing. I'm shutting the door on this message. But I really want you to hear this. It's simple, but if we do it, it's life-changing. Get into the Word. Find out what God says about your focus, the focus of your faith. Talk to different people. You have, around this room, there is a plethora of wisdom around this room. Ask people, have you ever gone through this? Have you ever experienced this? What does the Word say about this? You have any advice on this? Talk to people who have wisdom, godly wisdom. And as you do this, make sure you're praying, Father, what's your will for my life? Does this line up with your will? Lord, give me wisdom for my life. Give me wisdom for this upcoming year. Give me wisdom that I may know that the things that I'm focused on this year are pleasing to you. They're in your will. And if we know that, and if we walk that way in this coming year, we will see some changes in our lives and our families. We'll see changes in our mindset. We'll see changes in our circumstances. We'll see changes in our finances. We'll see changes in our homes, changes in our relationships, changes in our physical bodies. If you truly have your faith focused on the right things and hear what God is saying for you in this new year. So, Lord, with this simple word, I pray in Jesus' name that you will take the simplicity of this word and that it will explode in the hearts of your people. Lord, the things that keep your people from praying, the mindsets, the things that block our minds and the enemy, the words, the thoughts that he brings to us to try and hinder our prayer life. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for the body of Christ today. I pray for your people. And in Jesus' name, Father, if there are any spiritual blockades, any demonic strongholds in the lives and minds of your people that keep them from prayer, in Jesus' name, Father, I take authority over those things, and I pray for freedom today in Jesus' name, that you would, Lord, free your people to begin to have a different mindset and a different experience in their prayer life starting today. And I pray in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, Father, that you would begin to give your children wisdom concerning their life. Give them wisdom concerning their life in this new year. Give them wisdom concerning their life, Father, I pray. Lord, the things that have clouded our minds and hearts, Lord, I pray that you would begin to give us clear instruction, and show us, Lord, whether we should go to the right or left. If we should do or not do, if we should take this job or not take this job, if we should retire or stay employed, if we should marry this person or not marry this. Lord, there's so many decisions that we have to make. And I pray that you would give us wisdom to make the right decisions according to your will. Father, I also pray that you would break religious strongholds. The religious strongholds that would have us doing the same old thing day after day, month after month, year after year. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would break religious strongholds off of hearts and minds, that you would break those old strongholds of traditionalism, that you would break those old strongholds off of this is how I did it in the past, and this is the only way I'm going to do it, that you would break that mindset, and that you would set your people free to have a new and living way of worship, a new and living way of prayer, a new and living way of fellowship and communion with you, Father. And I thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Amen, church.
Amen. Praise God. Good word,
thank you, Lord.